Welcome to today's Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American, read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas. This production is also available at recordinglibrary.org and on the telephone reader by calling 432-617-5555.
Hello, I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, January 24th. MHS lockdown. Individual detained, then released after lockdown. Students remained on campus until shortly before 5 p.m. The story was written by Caitlin Randall. The individual who was detained at Midland High School on Thursday evening was released later that night, Midland's ISD spokeswoman said in an email. The investigation is ongoing, quote, but no charges are pending at this time, she said. The individual was taken into custody during a lockdown at the school. The school was locked down around 3:30 p.m. after a Crime Stoppers tip was received. There weren't any injuries to students or staff, and no shots were fired, the district spokeswoman said. Students were released from MHS around 5 p.m. Thursday after the lockdown was lifted. As a group of students was brought out, a Midland Police Department officer said, "Everybody's good inside. It's all good." While parents and students referred to the suspect as a shooter, police have not confirmed that a weapon was involved. Midland police had blocked off Illinois Avenue near the school after the campus was locked down. Several officers were seen standing outside of their vehicles in front of the school, and one could be seen holding a long-range rifle. Kimberly Gomez, the parent of a student, said her daughter had been texting her throughout the lockdown, and shortly after 4 p.m., the teen texted her that a shooter inside the school had taken hostages. Gomez said her daughter sent her a screenshot from a teacher's phone showing the possible shooter from surveillance camera footage. She said the teachers were sent the photo and told to watch out for the student. Gomez said her daughter told her the suspect was located in a second-floor room. Parents waiting for their children said they knew the name of the suspect and he is a student at the school. The Reporter Telegram has chosen not to disclose the name of the suspect unless he is charged as an adult. A crowd of parents waited across the street from the school to reunite with their children. Several parents had said their children told them that students were being cleared room by room. Several school buses pulled up to Midland High shortly before 5 p.m., and police directed the drivers to the back of the school. Midland police assisted MISD police with setting a perimeter around MHS while MISD conducts their investigation, according to the district spokeswoman. More details are expected to be revealed at a media briefing planned for 10 a.m. today. MISD Communications Department released the following statement shortly after 4 p.m. Thursday. Quote, out of an abundance of caution, based on a Crime Stoppers tip, Midland Senior High is currently in lockdown. Officers are currently on campus securing the building. We are asking parents not to come to campus at this time, as it may slow the investigation. We will update you as soon as more information is available. Parents have been notified. DPS investigating MPD officer involved shooting. The story was written by Caitlin Randall. The Texas Department of Public Safety is investigating an officer-involved shooting that occurred in East Midland Wednesday night. DPS Sergeant Oscar Villarreal said troopers are investigating a shooting involving the Midland Police Department. He said he could not release further details at this time because it is an open investigation. Troopers had blocked off Pine Avenue at the intersection of North Fairgrounds Road as of Thursday afternoon. A house midway down Pine Avenue had crime scene tape in the front yard and a DPS vehicle parked in front of it. KOSA-TV reported a teenager and a three-year-old were shot during a home search. Villarreal said he did not know the ages of those involved in the shooting. Deanna McCandles said she and her family lived behind the house where the shooting occurred. She said she was playing with her children when she heard what sounded like a drive-by shooting at about 9:30 p.m. McCandles said her first instinct was to comfort her children who, quote, couldn't understand what was going on, unquote, and locked the windows before calling the police. She said she'd heard 6 to 7 gunshots and what she believed was a car speeding away. An ambulance arrived at the home on Pine Avenue shortly after the shooting and quickly loaded someone inside the vehicle before leaving the scene, McCandles said. KOSA-TV reported the three-year-old, who allegedly was shot, had been transported to a hospital in Lubbock. GOP to host forum for countywide primary races. The Midland County Republican Party is planning 2 forums to allow potential voters to know more about candidates in the March 3rd primary. The first forum is from 2 to 4 p.m. on Saturday at the Midland County Public Library Centennial Branch. Scheduled to participate are candidates running for countywide offices, sheriff, district attorney, 142nd District Court Judge, County Commissioner Precinct 1, County Attorney, Constable for Precincts 1 and 2, and Tax Collector Assessor. The Constable and Tax Assessor Collector are uncontested races. Those running in contested county government races and invited to participate Saturday are, candidates are listed in alphabetical order, District Attorney Michelle Morris and Laura Nodolf, Sheriff David Kreiner, Tom Hain, Joe Lozano, and Rory McKinney, 142nd District Court Judge Mary Baker, Wayne Frost, and David Rogers, County Commissioner Precinct 1, Leonard Dumeyer and Scott Ramsey, County Attorney Rebecca Patterson Linehan and Russell Malm, former Midland County District Attorney Teresa Klingman and Reporter-Telegram editor Stuart Doreen will ask questions of the candidates at Saturday's forum. The primary elections for the Republican and Democratic parties are March 3rd. Early voting is set to begin February 17th. Those wanting to register to vote in the primaries must do so by February 3rd, according to the Midland County Elections Office. As of Wednesday, there were 86,339 registered voters in the county. The second forum is for congressional candidates and candidates for the 11th Court of Appeals. It is scheduled for 5:30 to 7 p.m. on February 11th at the Horseshoes Backstage Event Center. Lone Democrat in District 11 contest visits Midland County. The story was written by Caitlin Randall. John Mark Hogg, the sole Democrat vying for the District 11 congressional seat in a race overrun with Republican possibilities, held a series of meet and greets in Midland this week. Hogg stopped by the Midland County Democratic Party headquarters Wednesday to meet with area Democrats, including Commissioner Luis Sanchez and Democratic Chair Margaret Williams. Following is a Q&A from the event. Answers are edited for length. Question: is John Mark your first name or is Mark a middle name? Answer: Mark is a middle name. When I was a kid, they called me John a lot, but John Mark is the name that everyone knows me by, or JM, or Hey You. I'll answer to anything. Question: from speaking to Midlanders and Odessans, What are you gathering are their main concerns? Answer. I've been all over the district talking to people about what their concerns are. And what really struck me is, we all have the same concerns, essentially. The things I keep hearing about are concerns about health care costs and insurance, prescription drug costs, infrastructure is a common one all over the place, affordable housing. All those are things that are common across the district. The district is so huge, going from the state line of New Mexico almost to Fort Worth and down to the Hill Country. But everybody really has the same concerns, which are kind of the bread and butter issues of the day. How do I work? What kind of job do I have? How do I afford health care for my family? Where are my kids going to be educated? And where am I going to live? Those are the issues that I think are really important to people. Question. A big concern for people in the area is oil and gas, of course, because we're in the Permian Basin. That's often seen as a Republican area, but as a Democrat, do you feel that's also something that's important to you? Answer. Yeah, I think that's a misconception that it's a Republican issue. The oil and gas industry is crucial, not just to this area. It is crucial to the entire country and to the world. What I get is a sense of people thinking that we have to choose between being environmentally friendly, environmentally wise, and having oil and gas production. I disagree with that completely. I don't think we have to choose. And I think the oil and gas industry has shown itself over the last decade or more to increase improvements in technology. Where we get improved environmental conditions is through that improved technology, both in the oil and gas industry and also in the other industries, solar, wind, and other types of power. Energy is a broader issue than just oil and gas. The oil and gas industry is what's going to allow us to get to a position where we can address the environmental issues even better. It's absolutely vital. Question. Another concern I've heard about quite a bit is the possibility of redistricting after the 2020 census. A two-part question. As someone from San Angelo, do you feel that you can get Midlanders and Odessans on your side? And do you have any interest in redistricting? Answer. Everybody has an interest in redistricting. Redistricting is the thing where your voice gets heard. What I'm interested about that is, I do think that I can represent the people of Midland and Odessa. I've been well received so far, and I think our message will more than anything else. It's not necessarily about me, but it's about the message. But the thing that I think we need to move toward is, let's be frank, this is a very gerrymandered district. District 11 was originally a Central Texas district. Now it comes all the way to the New Mexico state line. One of the problems that we need to address in our politics is these safe districts. What we need are more competitive districts, because when you only have to listen to one side to get elected, that's not good. We need representation that understands that he represents all the people, Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, libertarians, all the people. You're not elected to represent one party or one group of people. You're elected to represent everybody. So I would like to see the legislature focus more on trying to come up with some parity and having some geographical boundaries that make sense. Midland-Odessa does not have as much in common with Granbury as we'd like to think. A lot of our interests are aligned, and we have a lot of the same problems, but it just makes it so much more difficult. I would like to see us grow more toward where we have closer elections and more competitive elections. I think that's better for democracy and better for the people. Question. Do you think that you can get people here behind that? Answer. I sure hope so. If I didn't think I could, I wouldn't be here. We tend to put things into boxes, and everybody likes labels. I hear it all the time. Quote, I'll never vote for a Democrat, or I'll never vote for a Republican. We like to use labels because they're cheap and easy, and we don't have to think about things. One of the things I hate is being put into a box. Politicians and pundits care about Republican and Democrat and liberal or conservative, but I think people are smarter than that. And I think that people see things as more pragmatic than that. They don't care about Republican and Democrat. Question. Do you have any thoughts on how many people are running on the Republican side? Answer. That's not my race. I'm looking forward to whoever the Republicans decide to nominate as the candidate, because I think what you're seeing on the Republican side is just the same message from all 10 people. And I think what we bring is the area of change and the idea of a different message and a different approach to representing this district. Question. Is there anything more you want to say about the platforms you're running on? Answer. The real problem that I want to address and that no one's talking about, none of the Democratic presidential candidates are talking about it, none of the Senate candidates, and none of the Republican candidates are talking about it or probably going to fix it. And that is the fact that Congress doesn't work. And the problem is there are many reasons for it, and it's structural in many ways. But we are never going to solve the immigration issues, the health care issues, all the other important things we have to address are never going to be solved unless we fix our politics, how we treat each other, and fix Congress so that Congress can reassert itself as a full, independent branch of the government, equal to the presidency, equal to the judiciary. Until they understand that, we're never going to fix any of the problems in our country. This is the medical advice column to Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, many years ago, while I was battling breast cancer, a scan showed spots of concern in my mid-thoracic area. Upon further testing, it was determined that I have sarcoidosis. My pulmonologist warned me to stop all calcium and vitamin D supplements. Now, after 15 years, my primary care doctor wants me to begin taking a multivitamin. But I can find no supplements that eliminate calcium and/or vitamin D. My husband was a pharmacist, and I still use his partner as my current pharmacist. He can think of no way to get past this requirement. Answer. These granulomas have the ability to make an active type of vitamin D, 1,25-dihydroxyvitamin D. The active form occasionally can cause calcium levels in the blood to increase, although many people with sarcoidosis have low vitamin D. I suspect your pulmonologist had found normal or high levels of calcium and vitamin D, hence the advice to avoid supplementation. I'd ask your doctor if there's a specific reason to be concerned about vitamin intake beyond your suboptimal diet. If you still want to take a vitamin, you could consider B-complex vitamins with vitamin C. These have negligible calcium and no vitamin D.
Hello, this is Cindy reading Faith and Philanthropy from the MRT for Friday, January 24th. 311 Ministries hires new leadership team by Brandy Addison. The founder and executive director of 311 Ministries has stepped away from her position and, in agreement with the board of directors, has named Paris Wilbanks as executive director. Paris is the sister-in-law of Stephanie Wilbanks, who served in the position for more than 7 years. Though they are family, Wilbanks said Paris earned the position. Stephanie Wilbanks said she will continue to serve on the board and volunteer for each of the events. As we have grown, the dynamics have changed, Wilbanks said. Everything has shifted, and it's very hard to run and maintain a project as large as 2,100 children with just a volunteer base. Over the years, we added part-time positions, and that worked for a little while, but it's just grown and grown to a point where we needed a staff and leadership. It really has evolved. She said that until now, there really was no true executive director position, though she did serve in that capacity. 311 Ministries also has a new leadership position, the director of development, which will be filled by Cynthia Lara. Wilbanks said Lara has volunteered with the organization for more than a year and has been incredibly dedicated to each of the projects. I'm still going to volunteer for all the things and will be a part of the decision-making processes, Wilbanks said. I'll still be very involved, just in a different capacity. The growth of the organization demanded these changes, and we didn't take it lightly. We definitely took the time to carefully map out what we wanted the structure to look like and what our expectations were. We've chosen people that have already proven their dedication to the organization. We know that they're going to run it in the same way I would, so I'm just letting them do their thing. Obituaries from the MRT for Friday. Dwayne Hamilton passed away Sunday, January 12th, in Rawls, Texas. Dwayne was born in Paducah, Texas. He was married to Merlene Manschrack from 1956 to 1975, and then married Lou Simmons in 1978 to 1980. Dwayne is survived by his sons David and Joe Hamilton of Coleman, and a brother Boyd and wife Nettie Hamilton of Tyler. He is preceded in death by his parents Alan Boyd and Mayvette Hamilton, and by his daughter Teresa Hamilton Bartee. A graveside service will be held at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland on Saturday, January 25th at 1 p.m. Services entrusted to Odessa Funeral Home. Golda Alice Lindsay, 89, passed away peacefully on Monday, January 20th in Abilene after a long illness. Family will receive visitors at 10 a.m. Tuesday, January 28th. At the Hamill Family Funeral Home Chapel, funeral services will begin at 11 a.m., followed by a brief interment at McBee Cemetery in Ovalo, Texas. Born January 21, 1930, in Clyde, Golda was the daughter of Robert Madison Barrington and Nora Alice Middleton. She leaves behind her grandson Jason Matthew Byrd, son-in-law Charles Kimball Foster, many nieces, nephews, and cherished friends. She was preceded in death by her husband James Wright Lindsay, daughter Rebecca Alice Foster, parents Robert and Nora Barrington, stepmother Theda Barrington, brothers Raymond Middleton, Buddy Barrington, Leroy Barrington, and sisters Pansy Webb, Lita Mae Evans, June Ernest, and Patsy Doughty. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Broadview Baptist Church, 2500 South 27th Street, Love and Care Ministries, 233 Fannin Street, or Hospice of the Big Country, 4601 Hartford Street, Abilene, Texas. Memories may be shared and condolences submitted online at https://hamillfamilyfuneralhome.com. Patricia K. Campbell Kruger was born on September 19, 1944, in rural Lake Crystal, Minnesota. Pat Kruger passed away on January 14th from colon cancer at Midland Memorial Hospital in Midland. Pat was a loving mother, grandmother, daughter, and sister, devoted wife of 55 years, and trusted lifelong friend. Patty left this life surrounded by the love of her family. Given Pat's love for children and the need to cure cancer, memorials may be directed to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in memory of Pat Kruger. stjude.org/donate. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Don Randolph, Randy Cheatham, passed away Tuesday, January 21st, in Lubbock at the age of 65. Funeral service will be held Saturday, January 25th, at Nellie Picklin Welch Rosewood Chapel in Big Spring at 2 p.m. Randy was born on October 2, 1954, at Webb Air Force Base in Big Spring, to Robert and Ruby Roman Cheatham. He is survived by his wife Tammy Phillips Cheatham of Big Spring, stepsons Justin and wife Amy Abernathy, and Shannon Smith of Midland, sister Robbie Diane Cheatham of Inks Lake, two nephews. He is preceded in death by his parents. Memorial donations can be made to Cook's Children Medical Center in Fort Worth. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Midland Shared Spaces Volunteer Opportunities. Midland County Public Library needs Therapy Dogs International volunteers as part of its Dog Tales program. This program gives children a chance to come in and work on their reading and language skills by reading aloud to a therapy dog. Please only sign up if you are registered with Therapy Dogs International. Volunteers age 18 and older must undergo a background check. Teen Flow Youth Ministry provides transportation to all students enrolled in its program. Drivers are needed to assist with pickup from schools from 3:45 to 4:45 p.m. and also with drop-off to student homes from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Volunteers must be at least 25. The West Texas Recording Library needs individuals to read periodicals that consist of short stories, poems, and recipes. We would love to have two people dedicated to reading periodicals. Help the Recording Library to improve the lives of people who cannot access the printed word. This organization offers audio versions of different forms of media to the visually impaired. From audiobooks, magazines, newspapers, and newsletters, WTRL helps the community stay connected. Volunteers must be over 16 and be able to dedicate a minimum of 2 hours a week on your own schedule. Legacy, Scholar, and SIP hours are available. Volunteers are needed at the Midland Humane Coalition Enhanced Adoption Center to care for dogs and cats who are trying to find their forever homes. This is a great opportunity for animal lovers who enjoy working with and socializing dogs and cats. Minimum age for volunteers is 18. The Midland Humane Coalition is a legacy-approved agency. Midland YMCA needs child care providers for the infant group and the 5 to 12 group. Activities include arts and crafts, video games, basketball, and much more. Minimum age to volunteer is 16. The duration is 3 to 5 hours depending on the age group. It's a fun opportunity to play games and relax with some great kids while their parents get a workout in. Young Life Capernaum gives young people with intellectual and developmental disabilities the chance to experience fun and adventure, to develop fulfilling friendships and to challenge their limits while building self-esteem through club, camp, and other exciting activities. They are looking for teen buddies and adult volunteers for their program. Minimum age is 16. Dinner is provided for the 2.5-hour volunteer period. After Mediterranean honeymoon, man refuses to live with wife. Dear Abby for Thursday. Dear Abby, my heart is breaking for my friend who was married just a month and a half ago. She and her husband went on a 2-week Mediterranean cruise for their honeymoon. They have not lived together since then. Her husband says he loves her, and I know she loves him, but he has no immediate plans to live with her. She's heartbroken and is planning an annulment. What advice do you have? Throne in Maryland. Dear Throne, I wish you had shared a few more details about their situation. I'm surprised your friend wasn't aware of her husband's feelings before she married him. However, as sympathetic as you are about her situation, my advice is to be there for her to lean on, but refrain from giving her advice. She's going to have to figure this out for herself. Some couples do better if they live separately, but if what her husband has in mind was a surprise and is unacceptable to her, she was doing the right thing. Dear Abby, I'm not sure if anyone else has this problem. My husband is constantly grabbing me, either my breasts or my crotch. It's day and night. We have been married almost 40 years, and I am sick of it. If I say something, he says, "Oh, I bet the guys you work with would love to be touching you." Not once have my coworkers ever implied such a thing. I just don't understand. Any suggestions on how I can make him understand I hate this? Groped out West. Dear Groped, your husband may consider what he's doing as foreplay, or regard you not as a person but his property. Touching someone in this manner without consent could be considered sexual abuse. His comment about your male coworkers may be a backhanded compliment, but why you're sick of hearing it is understandable. If he doesn't understand after 40 years that you dislike what he's doing, it's because he doesn't want to, and your feelings are unimportant to him. A marriage counselor may be able to help you get through to him. If he won't go, go without him. Dear Abby, I am 59 years old with a good job. I have a pleasant personality, and I have been told I am attractive. I would love to find someone who would be a very good friend or maybe even a love connection. The problem is I wear partials because some of my teeth are missing. I'm very attractive with them in, but I'm afraid if I tell a man I have them, he won't regard me as attractive anymore. Should I withhold that information until further down the line? Please advise me because this is holding me back on trying to have a relationship. I don't want to remain lonely because of this. Ready for something in D.C. Dear Reddy, you state that you have a good job. If all that's holding you back from finding a partner is embarrassment about your dentures, contact a dentist and ask if there are other options, such as implants, that might be a solution for you. If there are, it will give you the boost of confidence you are seeking. If not, keep in mind that if you are dating the right man in your age group or older, he shouldn't have as much a problem with your teeth as you fear. USPS stamp to feature Big Bend. The limestone cliffs of Santa Elena Canyon in Big Bend National Park will soon adorn priority mail postage stamps across the country. Designed by art director Greg Breeding with original art by Dan Cosgrove, the stamp depicts the Rio Grande flowing through the 1,500 feet high canyon, one of the park's most visited destinations. The stamp, to be released January 18th, is part of a focus in 2020 on stamps that celebrate the people, events, and cultural milestones unique to the history of the United States. According to a release from the U.S. Postal Service, it costs $7.75. The USPS annually receives about 30,000 suggestions for stamp ideas. The Citizens Stamp Advisory Committee, made up of experts in fields such as history, science, and art, review the suggestions and pare down a list for the Postmaster General. Couple is target of ridicule for their healthy lifestyle. Dear Abby for Thursday. Dear Abby, we need advice about how to respond to friends and family who poke fun or show disdain because of our healthy lifestyle. We are in our 60s. We rarely eat out, and when we do, we avoid fast food. We cook most of our meals with an emphasis on vegetables, fruits, fish, and chicken. We exercise regularly and have occasional treats. We have no chronic illnesses and aren't on any medications. For some reason, our food choices rub people the wrong way. If we are asked why we are in good health, we answer, Over the years, we've learned not to consume foods or beverages that make us feel bad. If we're invited out to eat and order the baked salmon with broccoli instead of the burger and fries, we hear, "Your diet is so boring." We usually laugh and shrug it off, but we don't think our diet is boring. We simply enjoy being healthy and know that food is medicine. Should we continue to keep our mouths shut? Healthy living. Dear Healthy, yep. Your friends and family react the way they do because seeing you eat the way you do makes them feel self-conscious about their own food choices. Continue laughing and shrugging to age 100. The others may not be as fortunate as you. Dear Abby, my girlfriend recently discovered that I am still talking to another girl I used to date. I'll call her Kyra. Kyra and I had agreed we would remain strictly friends, and the breakup was before I started dating my current girlfriend, Jan. Jan is devastated by this, and I can somewhat understand why. She got cheated on multiple times in her last relationship. Do you think I was crossing a boundary by wanting to maintain the friendship with Kyra? Or should I have dropped it when I started dating Jan? I'm asking you because everyone I talk to agrees with me, and everyone Jan talks to agrees with her. I assume it's because people agree with whoever is telling the story. You are unbiased, and your opinion would be greatly appreciated. Doing the right thing in Utah. Dear Doing, there's nothing wrong with remaining friends after a breakup. Jan is insecure because her last boyfriend cheated on her, and who can blame her? However, that is your problem, and you shouldn't make it yours. Your mistake was not telling Jan when you first started dating that you are still in touch with Kyra and that she's a platonic friend, nothing more. Jan does not have the right to control your friendships, and you shouldn't let it happen. Dear Abby, how do you cut off a person who talks constantly without a break? By the time there's a lull in her speech, I have forgotten what I wanted to add to the conversation. Word in Edgewise in Pennsylvania. Dear Word, I have encountered compulsive talkers like her. They are exhausting. Remember, she has to breathe sometime. The minute she starts to inhale, start talking. MSS Volunteer Opportunities. Every year, the Midland YMCA puts on a friendly, family-friendly dance so families can dress up, dance, and have fun. The Y is asking volunteers to decorate the gym, head its cupcake decorating and refreshment tables and craft area, and help with taking tickets and cleanup. It's a chance to get fancy in comfy shoes and have a great time supporting local families. The event is from 6:30 to 10 p.m. February 8th. The gym will be decorated from 1 to 4 p.m. Sharing Hands, a Respite Experience. Share needs volunteers to assist in the care of special needs youth and their siblings. Support its staff by engaging with children in activities, including games, movies, and crafts. Must pass a short background check. Dinner is provided. Events are held at Crossroads Fellowship in Odessa from 5 to 10 p.m. throughout the year. This volunteer opportunity is family-friendly. Unlock Ministries needs office volunteers to support the administrative team. This is an ideal opportunity for those who enjoy organization and office work. Unlock Ministries is a faith-based mentoring community for kids to help them discover their value and thrive. Unlock helps at-risk students through literacy camps, summer camps, school reading groups, and year-round mentoring groups. Hours vary. Volunteers must be at least 16. Serve at Kaleidoscope Ministries' biweekly Rise after-school program. Volunteers play outside, tutor, eat dinner, and facilitate a Bible study for pre-kindergarten to sixth-grade students. Volunteers are needed to assist classroom leaders with activities and structure. At Kaleidoscope, leaders work to share the gospel and work in Southeast Midland through mentoring, after-school programming, and community events. Volunteers must be at least 15. The West Texas Recording Library is in need of volunteers to read daily newspapers and other written media. dedicated to improving the lives of people who cannot access the printed word, the Recording Library of West Texas offers audio versions of different forms of media to the visually impaired. From audiobooks and audio version magazines and newspapers and newsletters, we help our community stay connected and better their lives. Volunteers must be over the age of 16 and able to dedicate a minimum of 2 hours a week on your own schedule. Legacy Scholar and SIP hours are available. Police investigating man found as a suspicious death. The Odessa Police Department continues to investigate a suspicious death in North Odessa. OPD responded to a check welfare at 9:22 a.m. Saturday in the 1800 block of East 49th Street. Officers reportedly found a man dead inside their residence. OPD Criminal Investigation Division, Crime Scene Unit, and Ector County Medical Examiner's Office all responded to the scene. OPD is investigating this as a suspicious death, but foul play hasn't been ruled out. The decedent has been sent for an autopsy, and the investigation continues. Paget's Disease of Bone, to your good health for Tuesday. Dear Dr. Roach, my dentist saw a large mass on my jaw and sent me to an oral surgeon, who said the mass was too large. He sent me to a maxillofacial surgeon, who did a scan and biopsy. I was diagnosed with Paget's disease, but the surgeon had never seen a case before and sent me to a rheumatologist. That doctor sent me for a blood test and a full body scan, which found that it is also on my spine. I am hoping that you can tell me what this is and what any treatment or long-term side effects are. Dr. Roach writes, Paget's disease of bone is a disorder of bone metabolism. It happens usually in people over 55, and the diagnosis is often made by incidental finding of abnormal blood tests, especially the alkaline phosphatase. It may also be found when a painful bone lesion is x-rayed, and as in your case, people often have several other areas that are usually not symptomatic. Paget's disease is very common, affecting 2% to 9% of older adults, but it is frequently not diagnosed. Not everyone with Paget's disease needs to be treated. People with symptoms due to Paget's should be treated, as well as people without symptoms but who have active disease, as measured by blood tests. People with disease in a critical location may benefit from treatment. Without treatment, Paget's disease tends to progress, so the mass in your jaw would be expected to become larger and could cause mechanical problems, put pressure on an important structure such as a nerve, or even fracture. Dinner and performance. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale has scheduled a Sound Bites dinner and From East to West performance January 25th in the Ray Great House at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market 1788, Midland. Dinner starts at 6 p.m. and concert at 7 p.m. Dinner includes sides, dessert, and beverages. A cash bar is available inside the dining room. Dinner tickets are $26 each, available on a first-come, first-served basis. Concert tickets start at $10, and students are free. For dinner tickets, call 552-4437. For concert tickets, call 800-514-3849. Man's low ambition casts shadow on couple's future. Dear Abby for Wednesday. Dear Abby, I've been dating a great guy for a year and a half. He's funny, smart, and when he comes to my house, he washes my dishes and plays with my son. He is attentive and he cooks for me. He is always buying me little things like a desk coffee heater because he knows I love hot coffee, or smart bulbs that create cool colors in the living room. He's a super fun guy and he often leaves sweet little notes around the house for me. The downside is he has zero ambition, zero motivation, and no life goals. We are in our early 30s, and I'm a professional with my own home. He lives in a small room in a house with two housemates. His job pays very little, but although he has few responsibilities, he has been very slow to look for other jobs. Abby, I have talked to him about our future. We both want to be together, but I told him I am not going to support him. We want to move in together, but he needs to be more financially stable. He needs to be my equal. When we spoke, he agreed with me and the fact that he can do better. He promised he would be looking. But I have been waiting months to see a change in him. Nothing. Should I wait for him? Should I talk to him again? I want so much more, and I am not sure he can deliver. I don't want to stay just because my son loves him so much. What should I do? Hopelessly vexed. Dear Hopelessly, I understand your position. You seem to want the whole package, and from what you have written, this person is not it. You should not have to support him, and he shouldn't expect it. It appears that while the two of you care for each other, he simply cannot summon up the motivation to make the effort to better himself financially. Could you accept this in the long run? Is the status quo what you want forever? Bear in mind, if this man moves in, it will prevent you from finding a partner who is your equal in all ways. Dear Abby, my son got married 8 months ago. I recently found out he and his wife haven't sent thank you notes to anyone. Some of our friends and family took time off work, traveled across the country, spent a lot of money on airfare, hotels, meals, as well as wedding gifts. I am mortified. Abby, there were only 60 guests, so there were fewer than 30 thank you notes to send. When I asked my son about it last week, he said they hadn't sent them because so much time had passed and it was too late. I told him it was inexcusable and they need to get those notes written now because this is definitely a case of better late than never. If they do it within the next week, I intend to contact my friends and family and thank them myself and apologize for their rudeness. My son was not raised to be ungrateful and rude. What do you think? Furious in Arizona. Dear Furious, what you have in mind may be well-intentioned, but it won't make up for your son and daughter-in-law's lack of courtesy. If they fail to contact the guests who made such an effort to attend their wedding, do not speak up on their behalf, because it will only make them look worse. Low testosterone count. To your good health for Wednesday. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm a 69-year-old male in good health, except for a low testosterone count of 109 on a recent test. I am wondering about the benefits and risks of therapy. I have read that injection can lead to very high and then very low counts, but the patch can be potentially dangerous to my spouse. Can you clarify these issues for me? Dr. Roach writes, testosterone is an important hormone for men and women, although men have much higher levels. It has many critical functions. This includes promoting bone and muscle strength and generally favorable effects on blood cholesterol types and levels. Plus, it is necessary for healthy sexual function. Although very high levels of testosterone, such as those taken illegally by athletes, are associated with significant risks, replacement of testosterone in a man with low levels and symptoms of low testosterone has not been shown to be risky, and most evidence suggests an overall benefit from getting the testosterone back into the normal range. There are oral forms, injection and transdermal patch and gel formulations. Early injections showed problems with high levels after the injection followed by low, but there are better formulations to minimize that risk. Most men now prefer the gels or patches, which tend to have pretty consistent levels. Women and children should not handle the medication directly. Your spouse is at low risk if you wash your hands carefully after application and avoid skin contact until it has dried completely, such as by wearing clothing. Opinion Extra. Name recognition may be more important than amount of funds raised, by Stuart Doreen. The total candidates spent nearly $540,000 to win the three Midland City Council seats on the November 5th ballot, and there is nothing wrong with that. The campaign contribution and expenditure totals from the finance reports for Mayor and District 3 and District 4 representatives may lead some people to call for spending limits or to suggestions the system is rigged to favor the rich. They will say that the average Midlander can't raise the average $117,000 to run for mayor or the $32,652 to run for a district seat. Those are indeed large numbers, but by focusing on dollar signs, these people are missing the bigger picture. A quick look at Patrick Payton, Jack Ladd Jr., and Lori Blong indicates three candidates who either had the most name recognition in their places or were close to the top. And name recognition or candidate branding just might be what elections are about. If people don't know a name, a candidate can spend money to help build name ID. But it isn't the same as someone being able to say they know a person or his or her family. Then that person tells two friends and so on. Through the years in city elections, there often have been large discrepancies in the amount of money spent. But going back, Mike Cannon, Wes Perry, and Jerry Morales were names voters knew, and they trusted the brand over their opponents. People would rather vote for someone with whom they are genuinely familiar. So for those considering a run for local office, don't be intimidated by the dollar figures spent in the recent elections. Instead, be aware and motivated by the sheer number of people you have to know. Meeting people means they get to know the real you and potentially will be willing to donate to your campaign. Will it mean you will be the top fundraiser? No, but you don't have to be. Jack Ladd Jr. came in third as far as fundraising in the District 3 race, but he had name recognition and made his rounds across central Midland, knocking on doors. I oppose fundraising or spending caps because I think that money is speech. If a candidate is able to win the campaign finance battle, then he or she should reap the rewards. A donation can be as much about an idea or political stance as it is a person. So those laying the foundation for a future campaign should strive to inspire potential voters or donors. That holds true, in my opinion, at the local, state, and federal levels. Reports are that August Pfluger of San Angelo is raking in money left and right and dominating the fundraising battle against a crowded field in the race for Texas' 11th Congressional District. If he can do that, and if people from Midland and Odessa aren't inspired enough by local candidates, then more power to him. We will see how that turns out. In the end, there is something to be said about the notion that the $578,000 raised for the city election could have been put to better use. I can't argue that point. I feel that my decisions in November weren't based on marketing, but the messages each candidate offered, and I hope those who voted had similar motivations. Volunteer opportunities. Midland County Public Library is in need of Therapy Dogs International volunteers as part of our Dog Tales program. This program gives children a chance to come in and work on their reading and language skills by reading aloud to a therapy dog. Please sign up only if you are registered with Therapy Dogs International. Volunteers age 18 and older must undergo a background check. The Midland Chamber of Commerce needs people to help in the office. Individuals provide support for the office, front desk help, answering phones, organization of supplies, and other various projects depending on the time of the year. Specific events and other duties as assigned. Individuals will be interacting with members, potential members, small and large business owners, various other volunteers, and the general public. Good people skills are necessary. Office experience is a plus. Ability to lift a minimum of 15 pounds required. Individual must be a self-starter and able to work with various individuals to accomplish a common goal. Interview will be required of individuals interested. Hospice of Midland is looking for volunteers to assist with monthly birthday celebrations for residents of Legacy Ranch Memory Care Facility. Once a month, Hospice of Midland volunteers visit the facility at 4800 Briarwood Avenue to celebrate resident birthdays. Volunteers serve treats and refreshments, sing happy birthday to the residents, and visit with them. This activity is held on the second Friday of every month, starting at 2 p.m. for setup. The celebration begins at 2:30 p.m., and cleanup begins at 3 p.m., and is normally completed by 3:30 p.m. Gifts of Hope needs volunteers to assist with social media. This will include creating event flyers, posting to social media pages, and other tasks and projects necessary to the daily functioning of Gifts of Hope. This volunteer opportunity would require working closely with staff for direction and guidance, but can be done from anywhere. Gifts of Hope strive to match volunteer interests and talents to the administrative needs of the organization. The Seed Church has an opportunity to engage in their weekly ministry. A small meal is served to attendees every 4:14 to 6:15 p.m. Saturdays. Assistance is needed with serving the attendees and cleaning up the kitchen and foyer area of the building after the meal is served. Food and drink are provided to all volunteers. The Boys and Girls Club of Midland needs energetic teens to assist with the after-school program Monday through Friday. Teens will provide a positive model of behavior for the kids and engage them in games and activities from 3:30 to 7:30 p.m. Hours completed are eligible for Legacy Scholarship. Woman fears for the future if boyfriend becomes cop. Dear Abby, for Thursday, November 7th. Dear Abby, my boyfriend and I have been dating for a year. He's amazing, and I can see myself marrying him and having a family one day. There is only one problem. We are healthy in our arguments, except when his job is brought up. He's applying to go into the police academy. I've always told people I would never be with a cop because of my own anxiety. We fight about this all the time, and while I don't ask him to find something else to do, it's kind of implied. I don't mean to be like that. Or do I? Because I want him to be happy and do what he wants, but I also am terrified his job won't end well. He asks why I'm even dating him, and the honest truth is because he is an amazing man who truly does right by people. I love him. But do you think he is right? Is this something that can be overcome? Just one thing in Massachusetts. Dear Just One Thing, it takes a particular kind of person, a very strong one, to marry a partner who is in the military or in law enforcement. The physical danger can create additional stress in relationships. You cannot and should not dictate what your boyfriend's job should be. If he thinks he can find emotional satisfaction in police work, provided he completes his training, he should give it a try. If you don't think you can handle the stress of kissing him goodbye and being unsure that he will come home from work, then you're not the woman for him. Dear Abby, my friend of 30 years had knee replacement surgery 15 years ago. She is fully recovered, goes to the gym 3 days each week, and walks 3 miles on the treadmill. She still has and gets renewed each doctor visit her handicap parking card. Whenever we go anywhere and park, she always whips out her card and uses the handicap parking spots, even when there are multiple other spots available. She's extremely religious, and I cannot understand how she doesn't realize this is morally wrong. I have spoken to her about it, but she still does it. I'm not a perfect person either, but this really bothers me. What do you think? Stymied in the South. Dear Stymied, I think your friend should be ashamed of herself for abusing the privilege, and I also think the doctor who is aiding and abetting her in this fraud is equally at fault. Dear Abby, I have been married for 22 years. My husband is 60 and retired from the military. Ever since I have known him, he has always needed recognition and pats on the back, which I have tried to supply. However, over the past 3 years, it has become hard to put up with. He wants lots of applause for any accomplishments and posts daily announcements on Facebook, which have become an embarrassment. It's childish. I suspect his Facebook friends feel obligated to affirm how good their friend is. Should I mention that he needs to go lighter on his praise fishing expeditions or remain quiet? Embarrassed in Oklahoma. Dear Embarrassed, for the time being, remain quiet. If your husband starts to notice that he's beginning to lose Facebook friends, suggest it to him then, gently, and encourage him to diversify his activities so he spends less time on Facebook.
That's the end of the first hour of the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American. We'll begin our second hour right after we take a look at weather.